Well, speaking of protective sports equipment, it's Wednesday when we usually hear from Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, to talk about the week in sports. Today, he's here to talk about the year in sports. Good to see you, Bill, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Anthony. Happy New Year to you.
So, we often talk about the Red Sox, the Patriots, Celtics, and Bruins, and we'll get to some of that in a moment. But let's talk about some of your favorite and perhaps overlooked sports stories of 2014. What tops your list?
Well, on the top of the list is a story that was overlooked by people who don't pay attention to anything below Division I in college or don't pay attention to anything but the pros, and that was the Division II Women's Basketball Championship, the national championship won by the Bentley women this year. It was a great game. They were behind late in the game. They put on an incredible press. They kept stealing the ball under the basket. I was sitting in my TV room all by myself watching, jumping up and down, screaming and shouting. Of course, this is a great story because Barbara Stevens, who's been coaching at Bentley for many years, had accomplished everything that a college coach can accomplish except winning a national championship. And she got it, and she got it in one of the most exciting games that I have ever witnessed. I only wished that I'd been there out in Pennsylvania where they played the game.
Really? Well,
so that was my high point.
Here's a clip, by the way, from Bentley College coach Barbara Stevens talking about that victory.
At the beginning of the season, as we were looking at our goals and setting our goals, we thought winning a national championship was within our grasp. To win a national championship is really hard. Really, really hard.
Really hard indeed. In fact, it had been 24 years since they were last in the NCAA Division II final. So really great accomplishment.
And all they did that year, by the way, was go 35-0.
By the way, great story. Bill, I have to believe that high on your list as well would be the New England Revolution coming oh so close to their first championship. They went all the way to the finals but lost to the LA Galaxy. Still a good year for the Revolution.
It was an excellent year and a very interesting year also in the sense that they looked so bad earlier in the season and so good at the time when it counts most, which was late in the season. But for a bad bounce off the crossbar, we might have been talking about the Revolution as champs. But it was a great season, very exciting.
All right. Well, there's always next season. Well, let's introduce another good friend of the show, Glenn Stout, a frequent guest on Radio Boston. He's also the author of numerous books, including Fenway 1912. And Glenn, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks very much.
So, as you know, we usually talk Red Sox with you, and we're going to do that in a moment. But first, what was your favorite and perhaps most overlooked sports story of 2014?
Well, I don't know how overlooked it is, but I do have to say that I think the mere fact that the Boston Marathon was pulled off this year and pulled off so well, and that nothing untoward whatsoever took place, at least locally, I think has to be considered, one of the great accomplishments. Because after what had happened, nothing else could have happened. And I just think it was done, just perfectly.
I think that's a great story to bring up, Bill. As Glenn said, obviously huge pain the year before, and it went off flawlessly. It was something to behold.
Yes, it was. It was an indication of how people can recover from something that was disastrous and tragic, and keep going on. And it was a great story for that reason alone.
So here's my favorite story, and again, it didn't really fly under the radar. And you might not be surprised to know that it comes from the world of baseball. And I just want to tip my hat to Madison Bumgarner, who almost single-handedly pitched the San Francisco Giants to their third World Series title in 5 years. Now, for people who didn't follow that story, here's what happened. He beat Kansas City three times in Game 1. He pitched 7 innings of one-hit ball. Then in Game 5, he pitched a 4-hit shutout. He threw 117 pitches. Then he comes back 2 days later and in relief and pitches 5 innings of relief and clinches the victory. And after that, he admitted that, yeah, I'm a little tired now. But what an amazing performance, especially in this era of pitch counts and so many days off. And Glenn, that's got to rate pretty high up there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was channeling his inner Christy Mathewson, in October this year. Because what I found, extraordinary is he ended up pitching over 270 innings. Nobody pitches more than 200 innings anymore. And he's only 24 years old. He went 270 innings, if you include the postseason, and just seemed to get better and better, and also didn't really seem fazed by it. You're not seeing Madison Bumgarner going to Vegas this winter. I think he's like sitting back in North Carolina, you know, roping calves or something.
I hope so. I hope he's not playing winter ball somewhere.
Well, if he is, good for him, because they used to do that after throwing 300 innings, too.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Well, as long as we're talking baseball, I've got to ask you both about the Red Sox. They finished last season, of course, so things can only improve in 2015, I guess. I mean, I guess they can finish even more last.
No. The Red Sox have the rest of the American League exactly where they want them.
Yeah.
Last to first to last to first. It's easy. The pattern is set.
That's it. So, Glenn, what do you think?
It's the ping pong style of winning pennants, you know?
Well, Glenn, what do you think? They went out and got a big-time third baseman, Pablo Sandoval, former shortstop Hanley Ramirez, pitchers Justin Masterson, Rick Porcello, to name some of the new acquisitions. How do you think?
It's nice to be a small market team, huh?
Yeah, right.
Remember when we used to hear about how the Red Sox were a small market team?
And how those nasty Yankees were spending all the money and buying all the good players.
I feel bad for those poor little New York Yankees,
who just
can't afford these players that we can.
Yeah, we like being the evil empire. But Glenn, how do you think this team is going to fare next season?
Well, I mean, they've got to be better, right? because it's going to be a little more difficult to be worse. I also think that it's kind of, once again, kind of setting up some expectations that might not be quite realistic. I mean, I love Sandoval. I really love him. But he's not going to come to Fenway Park and hit 350 with 30 home runs. He's not that kind of player. He's a great player, has done terrific in the World Series. But he's just kind of a nice player, nice to have. But I worry about players like that who get big contracts and then suddenly get huge expectations with them.
Mm.
You know, I hope he likes Boston.
Well, I'm sure Boston's going to like him. We'll see. Glenn Stout, frequent guest on our show. He's also the author of numerous books, including Fenway 1912. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us, and Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you, and Happy New Year to everyone.
And Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear right here on WBUR, Saturday mornings at 7 and again at 7 in the evening. Bill, thank you, and we'll see you next year.
A pleasure as always, Anthony. Happy New Year.
And stay with us. Coming up, stories and songs from Boston's own Peter Wolf. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.